someone who loves you asks, what do you need? And you've got nothing. Not because you're fine and not because you don't need anything, but because you've been in management mode for so long, you have genuinely lost track of where your own needs even are. I want to talk about that today because it happened to me recently, and I think it might be happening for you too. I'm Emily Rogers, and this channel is for capable women who are tired of carrying everything and quietly wondering when is their turn. We have honest conversations here, no fluff, no motivational language that evaporates by morning, just what is actually true about navigating this season. So I want to give you some context because this story doesn't make sense without it. In the past 6 months leading up to our move to Bangkok, this is what my life contained. I was working full-time at Wheelers, a book supply company I genuinely love, with people that I adore, doing work that lights me up. It was an opportunity too good to pass up, and I do not regret it for a moment. In fact, I still support them from Bangkok. But at the time, it was full-time on top of everything else. Hubby was in and out of hospital. He had an infection that was putting his new heart valve at risk. Anyone who's sat in a hospital corridor or waited for a phone call about someone they love knows that kind of background anxiety and what it does to you. It's not loud, it just never turns off. The girls were preparing to leave Auckland, saying goodbye to friends, to the life they've built, to the school that they've loved for the past 6 years. Teenagers processing the end of something do not always do it quietly. And they needed me to hold space for the feelings, not so I could fix them, but because they were the right feelings to be experiencing. I was running my own business, showing up for my clients, coordinating the logistics of an international move. And then just after we arrived in Bangkok, Mum was diagnosed with cancer. I flew to South Australia to be with her for surgery, and the days before I left, Hubby said something that has stayed with me. He said, "But you're fine. You've done this," meaning an international move, "so many times." And he was not wrong to think it. He was reading the evidence I had given him across the years of moving countries, of landing in new places, of figuring it out. From the outside, this looked like just another move. What I couldn't tell him, because I didn't have the words yet, was that this one was different. That I did not feel fine, and that I had absolutely no idea what I would have asked for, even if I had have known. He wasn't wrong. I had just taught him that I was fine. I hadn't realized that I'd been teaching him that. So I want to name something here that I think is important. The people closest to capable women are not neglecting them. They are trusting what they have been shown. We teach the people around us through years of evidence that we can handle things. We handle the move, we handle the logistics, we handle the emotions, we handle the practical, the emotional, and the invisible all at once. And we do it without asking because we can. And because it needs doing. And because this is just who we are. And so the people who love us stop asking. And it's not because they don't care, it's because we have given them reason. We have not given them no reason to think that they need to. The question, what do you need, only gets asked regularly when someone has learned that the answer will be honest. Most capable women have never given that honest answer. We say, "I'm fine," or "just give me a minute," or "I'll sort it out." And so the question stops coming as often. The loneliest part of this is not that we are unsupported. It's that we have trained away the very offer of support that we most need. And then the other layer, if someone even asked and meant it and held space for the real answer, I don't know what I would say. I've thought about it a lot since those days before I flew to South Australia. What would I have asked for if I had known? I still don't have a clear answer, but I've also made peace with that. Here is what I think happens. When you've been in management mode for long enough, caring enough, at pace, your own needs become like furniture in a room you stop sitting in. You know they're there somewhere, but you've not actually looked at them in so long that you couldn't describe them if someone asked. It's not a weakness. It's what sustained high-functioning costs when it goes through long enough, when it goes on long enough without pause. When I was in Taipei many years ago, I made the deliberate decision for the first time in my adult life, I was going to say no. And that meant I wasn't going to volunteer immediately. I was not going to say yes to anything initially. Because after years of building communities, filling gaps and being useful whenever I landed, I wanted to take the time to figure out what I actually wanted for myself. I had no idea what that was, and naming it as an honest statement rather than a failure was one of the most useful things I have ever done. The result was building my business. And I do not regret that for one moment. But the same honesty applies now. I do not always know what I need. And sitting with that rather than pretending I have an answer, that's its own kind of integrity. Not knowing what you need is not a character flaw. It's what happens when you've been focused on everyone else's needs for long enough. What I found in the middle of all of that was not a clear answer to the question of what I needed. What I found was something quieter. When I arrived in South Australia to be with Mum, I had 10 days. 10 days of sitting in the hospital with her, but also 10 days of walking along the River Murray with our dog Minty. Mum agreed to take her when we couldn't bring her to Thailand and has subsequently decided that she wants to keep her. Frankly, they are both living their best life. And knowing that is a true gift. For 6 years in Auckland though, walking Minty was my meditation. It was my thinking time. The thing that held me when nothing else did. So when we've moved to Bangkok, I haven't been able to replace that. I have not found my new version of it yet. So those 10 days walking around the River Murray, walking while dealing with Mum's surgery, watching Minty, being with Minty, breathing in that fresh air, it didn't feel like the inside of a transition. That was support. Not because anyone designed it that way, but because being in the right place with the right dog beside someone I love gave me something back. There are moments like that. People in my life who know me well enough to show up in ways I did not or do not ask for, because they don't need to ask me. A message at the right time, a phone call that felt like the hand on the shoulder, somebody simply being present without needing me to perform, being fine. These are the forms of support that actually sustain capable women. Not because we have to ask for them correctly, but because people offering them know us well enough not to wait for the question. So there is something that sits alongside that receiving, and that is about making room for support. To do that, I've had to put some things down. And there are people that I no longer allow in my life. Not dramatically, not with a scene, but quietly, deliberately, because the relationships, they weren't taking me where I needed to be. They were taking more than it was giving. And I did not have anything left to be in that deficit. So I was shedding what was draining me. And that's not selfish. It's what makes everything else sustainable. So what sustains me now? It's not my morning routine. It's not a system. It's actually quieter than that. It's sitting on my balcony with a cup of tea. Just that. The fresh air, the quiet, nobody needing anything from me. In Bangkok, the mornings have a particular quality. The city waking around me slowly, something almost still in the air before the heat arrives. I've learned to protect that time. I'm still looking for my version of Minty Walks here, that thing that holds me in a way that those early mornings along Auckland's Domain used to. I haven't found it yet, but I'm not in a hurry to force it. And this is what I want to share with you. If you don't know what you need, that's okay. But notice who shows up without being asked. Notice the small things that restore you rather than drain you. And notice the things that people are costing you. Notice the things and the people that are costing you more than you have to give. You don't have to have an answer. You just have to be honest about the question. I still don't always know what I would ask for if someone asked me directly. But I know this. The 6 months before Bangkok and the months since have taught me that capable women are not unsupported because no one cares. We are unsupported because we've spent years making the support feel unnecessary. The way through this is not to suddenly become someone who asks clearly and receives gracefully. That would be nice. It is smaller than that, though. It is the cup of tea in the balcony. It was the walk around the River Murray, dealing with the grief and the upheaval. It's the quiet decision to put something down because it was costing too much. That's enough. That counts. Every week, I write honestly about what it takes to navigate this season. I invite you to pour yourself a cuppa and join me, theleaptolead.com/newsletter.